It was about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning several weeks ago, and the Lord awakened me and began to talk to me. And I got my Bible and I started to read, and I was reading in Chronicles and in Kings, the parallel accounts, and the Lord brought what I'm going to preach to you this morning to my attention. I had never seen this before. I've never heard anybody reference it before. Would you stand with me as I read the Word of God? The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 22, beginning with verse number 7. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram. That is sometimes rendered Joram or Jehoram. It's the same guy. Against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. Now, I don't have time to preach this morning, but I want to help some parents here from verse number 8. You can tell your kids it does make a difference who you hang out with. It does make a difference who your friends are. Jehu just went out that morning to kill the house of Ahab, and when he found Ahaziah's sons and nephews hanging out with the house of Ahab, he just killed them too because he figured they were guilty by association. Okay, I'll preach that another time, but that's in the book. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hid in Samaria, and brought him up to Jehu. And when they had slain him, they buried him, because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep the kingdom. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Joram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And I want to preach to you this morning, don't forget the daughters. You'll get it in a little bit. Don't forget the daughters. Jesus, we love you and we thank you for your marvelous anointing that is in this house. I thank you for every precious person who has come here today, especially the mothers and the grandmothers, great-grandmothers who are here. And I ask you, Lord, that your word will speak to all of us in the name of Jesus. And should there be someone here whose life is in pieces, I'm asking you, O Lord, our Master Potter, that you will put the pieces of people's lives back together today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Happy Mother's Day to every precious mother in the house. Every Mother's Day is special, but today is a very special Mother's Day because this marks the 100th anniversary of the first official Mother's Day celebration as established by presidential proclamation 100 years ago. A lady by the name of Anna Jarvis spearheaded efforts which culminated in the first Mother's Day service being held in Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, My wife and our family have been there. We took them. This is now the National Mother's Day Shrine. Beautiful old brick church on the side of a hill in Grafton, West Virginia. Interestingly enough, Miss Jarvis, who was the force for establishing Mother's Day, was never married and she was thus childless. As a result of her efforts, Mother's Day is now celebrated around the world, though not always, on the second Sunday in May. Mother's Day is the third largest card-sending holiday in the United States, with 133 million cards exchanged annually. Thank you, Hallmark. Cha-ching. It is the second largest gift-giving day, surpassed only by Christmas. So happy Mother's Day to every mother in the house. Also to every mother who is watching by way of webcast. We salute you. We celebrate you. Your life. We pay tribute to your selfless dedication to all who call you mother, mom, grandma, or whatever other term of endearment your family uses. Here at Calvary today, we call you special. This is your day and we congratulate you today. In fact, when we dismiss this morning, if you will go by the welcome desk out here in the welcome foyer, we have a very special gift for every Mother's Day, for every mother who is here. And now you have to show up and claim your own prize. But if you're a mother or a grandmother or a great-grandmother and you're here today, please, by all means, stop by and pick up a token of our love and appreciation for you, for all that you mean to us. Our text scripture today recounts one of the most calloused and calculated slaughters in all of the Word of God. The bloodthirsty rampage of Jehu is unexcelled in ancient history. The holocaust that Jehu executed against the house of Ahab, king of Israel, the worshippers of Baal, and finally against the house of Ahaziah, king of Judah, who had allied himself with the wicked king Joram of Israel, is an account of vicious intrigue and genocide. The victims of this rampage were killed simply because of who they were related to. Very, very similar to tribal genocide that we read about in some of the Middle Eastern and African nations that takes place even today. Now, Ahaziah was not an innocent victim of circumstances or someone who just happened to fall into bad company because he had no positive reinforcement in his life. He was the son of Jehoshaphat, a good, righteous, godly, God-fearing king of Judah. Stories recounted not only in our 2 Chronicles text, but also in 2 Kings, the 9th chapter. Verse 7 says that Ahaziah's destruction was by God. God had ordered Jehu and orchestrated the events that led to this bloody day. But Jehu wasn't finished yet. He systematically sought out all of Ahaziah's brothers and princes of Judah to kill them also. As if that was not enough, Athaliah, Ahaziah's mother, who was also the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. You ever hear about them? I could stop right now and preach to young men about being careful who you marry by looking at what their mother looks like. Whoa, yeah. I'll go on, relax. It's Mother's Day, I'll be nice. But I'm just wanting you to know that's in the book too. This wicked Athaliah daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, had her grandchildren executed lest they should challenge her rights to the throne of Judah. And then she assumed the throne and the crown over God's people. This purge of the house of David by Athaliah was Satan's third attempt to annihilate the royal seed of David's lineage in order to keep God's word from being fulfilled and to snuff out the promised Messiah before he could be born. That prophecy against the serpent in the garden must have haunted the devil. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Don't you ever forget, the devil lives in mortal fear of the fulfillment of God's word in your life. Okay, somebody help me preach and I'll be able to do better and go faster. The devil lives in mortal fear that God's promise to you is going to be fulfilled. And that's why he wages war against you. And that's why he wages war against your family. Because you have a promise on your head. Just as certainly as you live in expectation of the fulfillment of God's word, so the devil lives in torment that God's word is going to come to pass. Now, there was only one problem. Athaliah and Jehu both missed Ahaziah's sister, the daughter of Joram, by one of his other wives. This godly woman was married to Jehoiada the priest, and her name was Jehoshabeth. She was the granddaughter of Jehoshaphat. And when Athaliah decided to murder all of her offspring in order that they would not challenge her rights to the throne, somebody forgot to tell her that women have a vote, that women have power, that women can get things done. That women that there are some women who are brave. There are some women who refuse to back down. There are some women who will take a challenge. There are some women who will say, I will not be moved. And so in keeping with the custom and the culture of the day, when Jehu and Athaliah went on a rampage against the royal seed, they thought if they snuffed out all the males, they could kill the promise. But they didn't count on the fact there was a lady in the house who was a godly woman, a righteous woman, a woman of God, a woman who would not be afraid to do what needed to be done. I guess we can forgive Athaliah for her oversight. I guess we can forgive Jehu for his oversight. They only went after the sons, assuming that a woman could never accomplish anything of value or lasting influence. We'll have to forgive both of them. It was clearly the assumption of the society of that historical period that women were inferior to men and thus could be ignored when major life-changing, nation-saving events were underway. Well, she's just a woman. She's just the daughter of. But I'm preaching to you this morning. Don't you ever forget the daughters. Don't you ever forget the power of ladies who have espoused the cause. Before you decide that ancient Israel, God's chosen people, had declared a war on women, may I be so bold as to point out to you that the heathen people treated their women far worse than did Israel. In Israel, there were protections in place that accorded women a far better treatment than what they endured under the heavy hand of heathen oppression. Now, I'll get back to that at the end. So, you feminists, hang on. I got a word from the Lord for you, too. And you're going to be surprised before I finish preaching today. Now, you already know the main points of the story. When it became obvious that Athaliah would stop at nothing to protect and preserve her throne, this brave lady, Jehoshabeth, at great personal risk, gathered up that little boy, Joash, her nephew, son of her half-brother, and spirited him away to the temple, to the house of God. The Scripture says she stole him from the king's sons who were being slain. Thank God for a woman who was fearless in the face of personal danger. Thank God for a woman who recognized the stakes were high enough that her personal preservation was not as important as the preservation of the cause. Thank God for a woman who was so, who refused to be intimidated by the status quo. Thank God for a woman who was determined to do what was right regardless of personal cost or personal sacrifice. There in that ancient Jewish temple, constructed because of the love and devotion of a king named David, this little baby king, heir to David's throne, was safely hidden from the wicked attempts of Athaliah to destroy him. May I pause to preach to you this morning for just a few moments that when you invest in God's house, in God's kingdom, you never know how your love, your devotion, your investment is going to come back to bless generations after you're gone. I preach to you this morning, everything you've done for the work of God is not in vain. Everything you do for the work of God is laying up a place where maybe one of your great-grandchildren is going to need somebody to hide them away. My God, let's have a house, let's have a place, let's have something that will protect the future generations. Frightening thing is, Athaliah and the devil came so close to success. There were no men left who could stand up to Athaliah's murderous plot. There were no men left who would take issue with Athaliah's devilish plans. But there was a lady. There was a godly lady. There was a courageous lady. There was a lady who refused to be hindered by circumstances, by culture, by what was expected. She said, oh, no, you don't. There's still one chance for the Word of God to be fulfilled. And I'm going to protect that chance with everything I have. Preservation of the royal line of David's family, from which the Messiah would be born, came down to the courageous actions of one godly woman. Well, come on, ladies. I thought you'd help me preach a little bit more when you found out where I was going. Make me pull this plow all by myself. So when she stole him, she knew there was only one place that he'd be safe. I got good news for you this morning. There's a place where your children are going to be safe. There's a place where your teenagers are going to be safe. There's a place where your investment in their future is going to be safe. There's a place where their doctrinal integrity is going to be preserved. There's a place where their faith is going to be nurtured. There's a place where there are going to be examples set of righteousness, godliness, holiness. It's in the house of God. So when it seems like everything in the world is falling apart, just bring your babies into the house of the Lord. They'll be safe there because there have been generations that have gone before us who made investments to secure the future of God's Word and God's plan and God's people. Hear me this morning. Mother, grandmother, aunt, cousin, woman of God, there is only one place where our children will be safe from the schemes and plots of a godless heathen world. So I challenge you, hide them in the house of the Lord. Jehoshabeth knew God's house. Hear ever watch somebody walk into a building and it was obvious they'd never been there before? Where are the bathrooms? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Not Jehoshabeth. Oh, my God. Could it be that the time you spend in the house of the Lord, when the chips are not down, when there is not an emergency, when there is not impending danger, is going to make it that you know exactly where to go when it looks like all hell's breaking loose, and you pick that little baby up and you don't have to get a map and you don't have to ask directions. You know exactly how to get where you need to go to bring that you want to preserve into the house of the Lord. So when a godless, heathen, vicious world seeks to destroy the promise of God in your life, hide them in the house of God. I'm thinking she must have known every nook and cranny. Maybe she'd been there for work day a few times. Maybe she'd been there when nobody else was there and she'd just gone exploring. Maybe she found out there were some secret places where you could pray and nobody could hear you but God. Maybe she found out there were some rooms where you could lock yourself in and nobody could find you with a GPS. Maybe she knew that there were places in that old temple that you could just hide yourself away. I want you to know something, saints of God. There is still a place in the house of God where you can hide yourself away and the devil can't find you and the enemy can't hurt you. Hallelujah! We don't know exactly where, but for 7 years, she hid that little boy. And as he grew, maybe she had to change hiding places a few times. Maybe she had to move him from place to place. But suffice it to say, her knowledge of God's house was such that she could hide him better than the wicked heathen Athaliah could find him. Oh, I'll say it again. She could hide him better than the enemy could find him. You need to know the house of God. You need to know the things of God. You need to know the ways of God so that you can hide your kids better than the enemy can find them. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, devil, I know that place. You only know it remotely. I know it intimately. I know how to get there in the time of trouble. I know how to call out when I need an answer. If it had not been for Jehoshaphat, God's promise to David would have been broken, because God had said, "There shall not fail of your seed to sit on the throne of Israel." That would have been bad if God's word would have failed. But what's more, God's plan for the lineage of the Messiah would have been snuffed out. You hear me today, my precious mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. You hear this preacher today. God's got plans for your heritage that you don't even understand. But if you'll invest yourself in the house of God, in the work of God, in the kingdom of God, when you need a hiding place, He will be there for you. May I remind you, it was Jochebed and Miriam who hid Moses from the wrath of Pharaoh. I wish there had been a man stand up. But all the men said, you know, Pharaoh said we had to kill all those babies. I had to throw them in the river. But it was a woman, it was a mother, it was a sister who said, "All right, Let's just obey Pharaoh, but let's put a little twist on it. We'll put the baby in the river, all right, but we'll do it on our terms. Oh, you hear me, you vicious, evil world. There are some commands with which we will not comply. There are some orders that we will not obey. And there are some times that we'll do things our own way because our God will give us ingenuity to preserve what He has promised. Now, you all know women are good at hiding things. I hate to mention Christmas again, but I was already planning to. My wife's the one that makes Christmas happen at our house. I just write the check. She does all the shopping. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She does all the wrapping. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wrapped a present one time and somebody asked me if I got the kindergarten class to do it. And I had done my best. My wife has probably got stuff hidden for next Christmas, whether that's today, tomorrow, or in December, that nobody in our family knows anything about. And she won't even let on like she does. And she used to have codes. She'd have a code on the package. She wouldn't put names on it because, well, I'll pick on Jimmy and Jamie since they're not here to defend themselves. There were people at our house who would try to figure out what was in the present. And so instead of putting a name on it, my wife would write a code. And only she knew the code. And you know what happens as time goes by. Sometimes you don't remember as keenly as you wish you would. And so I'll never forget the Christmas we were all sitting there waiting for her to pass out the presents and she could not remember the code. We did have fun that year. But ladies are so good at hiding things. It was a heathen woman named Rahab who hid the spies of Israel and sealed the doom of Jericho. I submit to you this Mother's Day morning, 2014, if you want to destroy the kingdom of God, if you want to eradicate the memory of godliness, righteousness, holiness, apostolic truth, and the message of the new birth, you better not just get the sons. You better get the daughters too. As long as there is a woman of faith, godliness, righteousness, holiness, this world will never be without a witness. As long as there is a woman who has hold of biblical principles and doctrine, I promise you there will always be a baby king somewhere who's being taught. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Somewhere hidden in the house of the Lord, there will be a voice lifted to declare, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter. All we need is one woman who will say, it's not going to die on my watch. It might cost me my life. It might cost me my reputation. It might cost me my security. But on my watch, this thing is not going to die. This thing is not going to pass away. I'm going to preserve what God has committed to us. As long as there's a godly woman around, there's going to be somebody to lift their voice that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So I call on you, righteous lady. holy, committed woman of God, take your stand against the forces of this world that seek to destroy our children so that God's plan will be thwarted and God's word will not be fulfilled. That's what our world's all about. But as long as there are godly, righteous, wholesome women who will stand and lift their voice, it will not happen. Now, I told you that if you are of the feminist persuasion, just hang on. I got a little word that you need to hear. In the second chapter of Joel's prophecy, he begins to prophesy of a time that is coming in the future when the status quo will be replaced with a completely new reality. Joel was writing in the Old Testament. Joel was writing the day when Jehu and Athaliah thought, well, as long as we get rid of the male babies, everything's going to be all right. But Joel came along and God put a word in Joel's mouth. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It would have never occurred to Elijah to anoint a woman to take his place. No, that was men's work. But God said, I'm going to change the rules. There is a new covenant coming. There is a new testament coming. There is a new time coming. And in that day, I will not make distinction between the anointing on men and women. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. My God, my God, my God. Your old men shall dream dreams. And I'm dreaming some. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. Doesn't make any difference your status in life. My precious sister, God has a place for you in His kingdom. God has expectation on your head. There is prophecy hanging over you. You precious women of God, ladies of all ages, there is prophecy hanging over your head. So why don't you move to claim the promise? All the feminists and their apologists who accuse the Christian church of chauvinism and misogyny as a hatred or dislike of females, I submit to you that not only are you completely wrong, you have completely missed the biblical charter under which the apostolic church was inaugurated. Joel said, when it comes to the New Testament, it's not going to be like it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they thought if they just took care of the males, they didn't have anything to worry about. Joel said, there is coming a new day. Oh, I wish the spirit of some women would rise up in them and say, I'm claiming my promise. I'm going to walk in my anointing. I'm going to do what God's called me to do.
I'll lift my voice. I'll hide my children. I'll hide the promise. I'll preserve what God has committed to the church.
We're not living under the law. We're living under grace. And the charter for the New Testament, the New Covenant Church, which is the Apostolic Church. This New Covenant, which introduced the Apostolic Church to the earth on the day of Pentecost, was built on a completely new social model. Now, I know in Jesus' day, there was a women's court, and they couldn't participate. But that's not how it is in the church today. Look around you. Did you see ladies on the platform this morning? Did you hear ladies in the prayer room this morning? Is there any distinction? Is there any denigration of gender? Oh, no, 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 my friend. Because Joel prophesied that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Stand up, Nushi. And so last Sunday night, the last service of our youth service, this young lady walked out and stood right there, and she preached more revelation in 5 minutes than some seasoned preachers have preached in 5 years. I tell you, it's because of the fulfillment. It's the fulfillment. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy. There may be some religious groups where women can't take their place, but not in the Apostolic Church. No, 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 my friend. Go ahead and stand. I'm about finished preaching. Get your praise team up here. Do that song again. Listen to what Paul made perfectly clear in his Galatian letter. Neither is there Jew nor Greek. There is no racial bias. Neither is there bond nor free. There is no financial bias. Neither is there male nor female. There is no gender bias. For ye are all one in Jesus Christ. Ladies, you're not left out of God's kingdom. Now, if you want to live back in the Old Testament, you didn't have all this access. You want to live back before Joel prophesied or before his prophecy was fulfilled, you didn't have access to all this. But when you come into the Apostolic Church, I don't care where your parents came from. When you get born in the water, you come out with a new name. You get a new family name. You get a new family identity. And we are all one. Well, my family's always been blue collar. And I'm not sure all those white collar folks would. He said, there is no more Jew nor Greek. There is no bond or free. Well, you know, I know that we didn't always do this right. Used to be we always sent all the ladies to do prayer meetings. Oh, come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. Some of you don't. Oh, thank God there are teenagers here who don't remember when it was expected that ladies would be the ones who would travail. Women would be the ones who would pray. Women who would be the ones who would fast. Women who would be the ones who would worship. Thank God we got that fixed. Mm-hmm.
And there is no gender bias in the kingdom of God. Ladies, you have a place. You have a part. You have a calling. You have an anointing. You can do things in the kingdom that men cannot do. So take your place, my sister.
Okay, you can play the intro now. Sing.
Sing your song of deliverance. Let your dance of victory.
You are free.